in my kitchen. Prayers are to be raining out the door.
Come over here, kid. Where's up? You never know, you might have to cook for 20 guys someday. You see, you start out with a little bit of water. You fry some garlic. Then you throw in some tomatoes, tomato paste, you fry it, you make sure it doesn't stick. You got it to a boil, you shove in all your sausage and your meatballs. Huh? A little bit of wine. A little bit of sugar.
Delicious.
And that's my trick.
When the moon hits your eye like a bigger pizza pie, that's amore.
Enough. I'm so sick and tired of hearing you people talk about food, food, food. That's all anybody ever talks about is prosciutto, cheese, and fava beans. I'm drowning here.
Jesus Christ, take it easy.
We're not even engaged yet.
When you're married, you'll understand the importance of fresh produce.
I eat with gusto, damn your bet, my country, tis of thee. I eat for social progress, I eat for victory.
Delicious. Good evening and welcome to Mouthful, the wine country's most delicious hour. It's Michelle Jordan. How are you on this fine, rainy weekend? Ah, it's just so nice, quenching the thirst of the earth. I was out at Safari West for their annual Valentine's Day event, and it's so interesting to watch how the animals respond to the rain. They hide under the eaves. It was all very cute, and Safari West is just such a great, special place here in Sonoma County. But that's not what we're going to be talking about. We're going to be talking about some other special things here. First of all, coming up on February 28th, the Year of the Ox. It is the Chinese New Year celebration. I've been, I think, the last 3 years. It's an absolutely wonderful celebration. We have Nancy Wang, president of the Redwood Empire Chinese Association, here with us tonight to talk about it. Welcome back to Mouthful.
Thank you, Michelle. Good evening for everybody out there, Sonoma County resident. My name is Nancy Wang. Like Michelle said, we're going to have the New Year celebration for February 28th, Year of the Ox. And our Lunar calendar year is 4,707 years. So I think this is the luckiest year. We got a 2-7 in there.
2-7s in there. Plus, we have a new person in the White House who was born in the Year of the Ox.
Well, that's
that
correct.
Must be an auspicious thing as well. We also have joining us in talking about one of my favorite subjects in the world, from Tillerman Tea, David Campbell. Thanks for being here, David.
My pleasure. I'm delighted to be here.
And you've got such a beautiful array of both tea implements and teas. I can't wait to get to that topic. But first, let's just give everyone the basics. What will be happening? I know it starts at 5 o'clock. Doors open at 5 o'clock, right?
Yes, that's correct. At the Santa Rosa Memorial Vest Memorial Building in Santa Rosa, the door open at 5 and dinner served at 6 p.m. Then we're going to have a lot of raffle and silent auction. Also, we do have entertainment, including six golden flowers from San Francisco.
The six golden flowers, I saw them last year.
Yes.
And it's, if I pronounce it right, it's guzheng.
Guzheng instrument. It's about 2,005 years old instrument in China. We do perform a lot that instrument, guzheng, in the olden days.
Mm-hmm. And what, I mean, from my point of view of knowing nothing about it, I would describe it almost as a horizontal harp that you pluck and lift your fingers high above it as you pluck, so that as the, and these are high school girls who are playing it, and as they play, it's as their as if their fingers are also dancing.
You're right. Uh-huh. Then also they have 30 some string in the one instrument, so you need to know a lot. You only got 10 fingers, but you got to play really hard for that instrument, really hard, lots of practice, you know, and then you can do a really good music.
Uh-huh. I mean, it's a wonderful event, but everything else aside, they are reason enough just to make sure that you get tickets and go.
Yeah, right.
It's just mesmerizing.
Yes, then also we do have, you know, traditional, our culture. Culture dance this year's absolutely we have has brand new our culture dance. We're focused kind of like a minority Chinese folk dance, new costume,
new
music. Yes. Then also we have another special event. It's we're going to have a new lions and dragon, and we're going to have an open eye ceremony. We call the dot. Whenever you have a new equipment for the lion dance, lion or dragon, you need to have a special ceremony. Have honor guests to dot the eye with the red ink. Then lion and dragon will becoming alive. From that time, then you can use the equipment to do your culture performance.
Oh, that's so interesting. For the dragons... Let's start with the dragons. For the dragons, how many people does it take?
And our older one is 250 feet long. Take 27 people to do the performers. But this time we bought a little bit small one to the youth, and 10 people.
10 people.
That's right. And it's a little bit light. The weight is much lighter than the older one we have. But the both dragons coming out. Because our older one, the longest one, our board members says we can't let them rest. They still had the coming out.
Oh, they'd be sad if they didn't get to play.
Yes, they'd be really sad. So they're still coming out to see the audience. And we always invite the guests to join us for the dragon. And we do have a well-trained, you know, a few position you need to have to know, the people had to know how to do it. Then rest the group, you can just follow.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, that's so exciting. It's just having that other perspective, being inside of it once, I bet would be a really interesting perspective,
yes.
to do.
Then we also had the martial arts coming up too. That's the our friendship really had a good relationship with the Lee's Tai Chi Kung Fu Academy in Santa Rosa, because most of our members training from there, then they can do the lion dance. So they're going to do really stunning martial art performer too. They can fly like a butterfly, jump, you know, fly in the air, that kind of sort of martial art performers.
Now, there's always, there's between 5 and 6, sort of the quiet time, people start coming slowly. But there's a lot to see during that time.
That's right. We have a special guest. One is Henry doing the origami with the children. And they can keep them a little bit busy to learning how to fold the different kind of animals and any kind of type of flowers, folding the table. Then we have two local children authors going to be there. Oliver Chan, the Year the Ox, Chinese Zodiac. He has a special book for the children's book for the Year the Ox. Then we have another Camila has writer for the Ragley Chan. This is not only just the book.
Oh, she also, Raggedy Chan.
At Raggedy Chan.
Camille, is her name
Camille? Camille, yes. And also she has a doll coming with that book. Actually, I did purchase for my granddaughter. They just love it. So these two local, you know, the writer is going to be at our event. You know, everybody had a chance can see their books.
Yeah, and that book, Raggedy Chan, it's a graphic novel.
Yes, you're
and
right.
And it's about growing up Asian in the San Francisco Bay Area.
Right.
I forget exactly. I met her at an event we were both at. Really charming. Very charming.
Very
book.
Charming, yeah, books. And also, she is a charming lady.
Absolutely.
Yes,
absolutely. And let's see, tickets are $25, $10 if you are 10 or under. And we, as usual here on Mouthful, we'll be giving you all of the information about where you can get tickets, where it's taking place, the address, Veterans Memorial Building in Santa Rosa, of course. Right now, we're going to hear from Six Golden Flowers, Guzheng, And then we're going to come back and bring David of Tillerman Tea into the conversation too. Is Six Golden Flowers, Young Ladies Picking Mushrooms. They will be performing at the Year of the Ox Chinese New Year celebration on February 28th at the Veterans Memorial Building. One of the things we'll certainly be doing that night is drinking tea. Always drink lots of tea that evening. And if you've listened to Mouthful at all, you know I'm an avid tea drinker and love to talk to people who know about tea, and that's who we have this evening from Tillerman Tea over in the Oxbow Public Market in Napa. David Campbell, tell us what you brought.
Well, my goodness. First of all, I'd like to say if you have a chance to go out to the New Year celebrations, absolutely do it. These are our magnificent events, and we do one at our shop annually.
Yes.
So it's not to be missed. The teas I've brought are, taking us through a number, some of the new winter teas from Taiwan. And so we'll start out with some Taiwanese-grown teas. And then, as a crossover, a tea that is the same style and the same varietal, the same cultivar, as one from China. So we'll taste a Taiwanese version and a Chinese version, and then we'll go on and taste some pu'er teas from China to finish up with.
Great. Before we start tasting, if you need to start pouring, you have so much stuff here.
Okay.
You just go ahead and let me ask the question. What does the shop specialize in? Any particular focus or just on quality?
Well, both, actually.
Okay.
Our focus is on traditional teas from China, Taiwan, and Japan.
Okay.
And we tend not to have a lot of the flavored teas and the fruit teas.
Yes.
And so on and so forth.
So real tea.
Well, yeah, and I don't want to denigrate those.
Tea without, by real tea, I mean tea that doesn't have other ingredients added
That's true.
To it.
Unless it's traditional. So, uh-huh. For example, we do have rose green or rose black, but those are uh-huh. traditionals. We also do carry some traditional, and these are not teas, but traditional herbal beverages from, or leaves, the flowers actually in this case. We have chrysanthemum flower.
Mm-hmm.
We have osmanthus flower. Rose buds, mm-hmm. and so these are some of the things that we will carry in addition to tea. But those are very traditional teas or infusions with long histories. Do mm-hmm. them. So.
And now we have Shelley walking over with water, so let's find out where we might need it poured.
Okay. These first three teas, these are all from Lishan in Taiwan. This is the highest growing area in Taiwan, and these are all from the winter harvest. I was over in Taiwan in October and November and brought these back with me. So the first one is a Lishan from a producer named Bilu, which means green cottage. Mr. K.C. Chen is the tea master there. And so we'll taste.
Okay, it looks like you poured in about 2 teaspoons, maybe? A little bit less?
Thereabout.
Okay. And yeah. It's the small little teaspoon.
I'm brewing these all in at the moment in Yixing pots. You should fill that right up. Keep going. Okay. And now pour some over the top.
Okay, it's in a bowl. And now Shelley is pouring the water over the tea.
Good.
Into the tea bowl.
Okay. And these Yixing pots, this is a clay from China. It's from the area just west of Shanghai. And this clay has traditionally been used throughout the Chinese culture for producing pots because it's very porous, and so the tea oils will seep into it, but it holds the heat. It allows mm-hmm. the heat to gently come through. Now, you would brew oolongs in this type of tea, and an oolong is a partially oxidized tea. You would not brew a green tea in this sort of a pot, but you would brew black teas or pu'ers in Yixing.
Mm-hmm. And tell us about the bowl that it's sitting in. It almost looks like just a pretty soup bowl.
This is a tea bowl, and it is it's also Yixing, and it allows the water to collect. So when you fill the pot with water, and then after putting the lid on, mm-hmm. We poured more water on top to ensure that the outside of the pot was the same temperature as the inside of the pot, and this tea boat collects the the water.
So it's sort of like I've seen tea boats,
mm-hmm.
But I've not seen a tea bowl before. So it seems like it has a similar purpose that also holds the warmth.
Yes,
that's
correct.
Where a tea boat wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
And then how long for this particular tea? How long do you steep?
Well, my teacher said you don't do it by timing. You have to live inside the pot. And there is no precise... You have to know how hot the water was, how much tea you used, and then how... and then you would decide how long you're going to brew it. You also... It depends on the style, and there's a personal preference. I mean, I'm a very long time in the wine business before I got into the teas, and the parallels are phenomenal between tea and wine, but the one big difference is that the final step of tea, it's the consumer who's making it, as opposed to the winemaker mm-hmm. who's put it in the bottle. So I'm decanting this now into a pitcher. One of the most important things about brewing tea is when it's done, you have to remove the leaf. Separate the leaf and the liquid, and otherwise the tea will continue to brew mm-hmm. and it will go bitter. So I'm going to let you have a smell of that. Okay, now this is a green Lishan,
yes.
A greener Lishan.
Very, very green smell and mm-hmm. beautiful green leaves.
Yep.
And as they expanded, they nearly fill.
Exactly.
The
and
pot.
You saw what they looked like when we start. Mm-hmm. Just they're small
little individually rolled.
Yeah. Now, if we can pull one of these out here, you'll see that what was rolled up.
Oh, look at that.
What is this?
It's not a leaf.
It's a leaf, a whole branch.
It's
three leaves.
Yeah, four, several leaves.
Yep.
Now, this is camellia, correct?
Camellia sinensis.
All camellia.
All tea is from Camellia sinensis in the same way as all wine, and I'm going to exaggerate here a little bit, but all wine is from Vitis vinifera.
Mm-hmm.
So all tea is from Camellia sinensis, and just like wine, there are debates about terroir and what grows where and which are the best suited for which areas, and there are thousands upon thousands of different cultivars. The parallels are phenomenal. Now, what we're going to do here, I've poured this in, and this is because we're dealing with Taiwan teas. We're doing this in a Taiwanese manner.
I was just saying, Nancy, you're from Taiwan, right?
Yes, I'm from Taiwan. I was born there and raised there. Uh-huh. It's really unique. David was mentioning Lishan. It's a beautiful mountain. It's in the middle in Taiwan. The province, the district is Taichung. So it's from Taipei. It's about 2 hours train ride. Uh-huh. You can be there. And Lishan is the highest mountain.
Yes.
Beautiful, beautiful. It's really famous for the tea.
Okay, it means pear mountain.
Pear mountain. The way you're writing in calligraphy, it's a pear and mountain. That's called Lishan. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so I've poured these into what is known as the aroma cup. And we'll take the tasting cup and put it on top and turn it over. And then...
And that's how it's served.
You take the aroma cup out, lift it up. Just gently lift it up. Okay. Now, smell in the aroma cup. No, smell in the aroma cup.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and that should give you the aroma. And then you can taste it.
Then I taste from the tasting cup.
Taste from the tasting cup.
It's very good. It's very delicate.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very light-footed on your palate.
Yeah. Now, this is what is known as a jade oolong. It's a greener one. That's really a terminology that has come up in Taiwan to distinguish the types of teas that they... the various types of tea, and it has to do with how oxidized the tea is and how roasted it is.
Mm. Now, traditionally, in Taiwan, or anywhere really that has the style of tea, when would you drink this?
All day long.
All day long, okay.
And this pot that I've made, and I'm afraid we're going to have to be a little bit sacrilegious here because... going to have to clean it out and use the pot, but normally with a brew like this and with this leaf, you would get eight or nine
infusions
out of it, and it just keeps going. Now, you need a high-quality tea like a Lishan in order to do that. So that's one. The next two teas that I wanted to show you are also Lishans.
Okay.
And these are... two different teas. They're both made by the same man. His name is Chen Wantong, and he is my teacher in Taiwan. Everything I know about Taiwanese teas is thanks to him, so I refer to him as Chen Laoshi, Laoshi meaning teacher. And we'll taste these now.
And if we need to pour any of the liquid out, say, we can use this glass right here if we need to do that.
Sure. Thank you.
It's so interesting to watch this. This is the only time I wish it was television and radio. It looks like thousands of years have gone into planning each of the implements. Each one seems so purposeful.
They all are purposeful, and yet it's not planned in a technological. It's part of the culture.
It's the culture.
Way it's developed. It's in fact, the reason I really got involved with tea is because of my fascination with cultures and with Chinese cultures, and I came to understand that I'll never properly be able to understand the culture unless I can understand the tea.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
We have a lot of tea house instead of Starbucks, you know, in Taiwan or in China. And you just go to the tea house, order different kind of tea, whenever the type of tea you like it, then you drink the tea with your friend, you're talking, and then you take a little bit of nuts, that kind of type, the tea house.
Mm-hmm. Now, one thing I think that is a big difference and unfamiliar in general to Americans, I mean, if you go into a coffee house, even if you get a cup of tea, you get a big old honking cup of tea, maybe 16 ounces, 24 ounces. And, you know, in Asian tea, you have a little cup.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I think... Mm-hmm. What can we say about... What can we learn about that?
Well, tea is consumed regularly. One of the reasons there's a small cup, if you were to brew a pot like this and you were to go to a meeting in China or in Taipei, Taiwan, the tea would be brewed in a small Yixing pot, and you would have the small tasting cup, much like we had here in front of you, and you would be given a first taste. By the time you'd finished that, the tea master would have the second brew going, and you would taste again and again. So during the course of any conversation, whether it's a business conversation, a social meeting, and so on and so forth, you'll have these constant brewings of tea going on. And there are some wonderful stories about it. One of the ways that people say thank you when tea is poured for you in China, you don't say thank you. So you tap.
Tap?
Tap with your
two fingers.
And
tap three times?
Yeah. You just...
Okay.
Yeah.
Tap,
and that,
a couple
thank
times.
You. And that is... The reason for that is that comes from once when the emperor of China was out traveling, and he left the palace and was traveling, and he had members of his court with him. And practice was to kowtow to the emperor. And it had to be done at various times. But the members of the court couldn't kowtow to the emperor out while he was traveling, where everyone would know that this is the emperor. So they would be sitting, and at the appropriate times, they would do this. And that's where it began. And because they would often be in tea houses, this was kowtowing to the emperor, and it came to mean, thank you for pouring me my tea.
Wow, that's really interesting. Okay, you are swirling the tea now.
This
the
is
pot,
just to
swirling
keep,
the pot.
This is just to get the liquid moving around the leaf in a good manner.
Now, you decant in an interesting way. In one fell swoop, you just dump it upside down.
Dump it upside down.
And it's got the pitcher is such that the pot, the lid of the pot rests so it doesn't fall off.
Yeah.
You can hear if you listen. Hear the tea trickling into the pitcher.
Mm-hmm. These pots, these ties on the pot.
My
colleague David Wong does these, and these are to help us remember what types of tea we use for each pot, because you should only use one type of tea in a Yixing pot, because the oils will permeate the pot, and then flavor that pot. If you're a really, really purist about it, you would only use one tea.
One specific tea.
We use types of tea because I don't have that many pots and there are a lot of teas.
And now it's going into the tasting cup.
Yeah. Now this time, whoops, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
This time, you can put the cup on top of the tasting. Okay.
There we go.
And then just turn it over.
Okay, lift off the tasting cup.
Yeah.
Different.
It's a different smell. Mm-hmm. Now, this is also a green oolong, or a greener. It's not green, but it's a greener. This is one that Chen Laoshu calls is fragrant oolong. Mm-hmm. It's qingxian, which is bright and fragrant. So this is a newer style. This is less oxidation and very little roasting.
It's, again, it's very light. It's very. I've always thought oolong is a very pretty style of tea, and these to me are very pretty.
Thank you. It's my personal favorite category because green teas are not oxidized at all. So the idea is to stop the oxidation, and they do that through something called firing or applying heat that mm-hmm. breaks down the enzymes. Black teas, they want maximum oxidation in those. But oolongs are in the middle. And this is where the tea master is making decisions on what sort of leaf they have and how they're going to be, how much oxidation they're going to allow and how much firing or heating they'll do afterwards, roasting. And it's much more like making wine where the personality of the tea master comes through. One thing you'll notice on this one, the leaf is opened a lot less than it did in the first one.
Don't want to break it. Okay, yeah, it is. Oh, it is opened less, but it's still very much that green,
mm-hmm.
green little green branches.
Now this is. I'm going to show you. This is the man who made that tea, and This is him describing this for people. This is a picture This is a picture of Chen Laoshi standing in a tea garden in on Lishan, and this is from this past fall that mm-hmm. when he was.
And by there. Tea garden, this is the place where the tea grows.
Where the teas grow. These are tea bushes that are you see here. They're kept fairly low to the ground mm-hmm. in Taiwan. In other areas, in Yunnan, in China, and some areas in Guangdong, the teas, the plants grow tree-like.
Mm-hmm. Is this type of camellia allowed to bloom?
It can. Uh-huh. It has a very small white flower to it. It's the ones that we're used to seeing here are,
with
the, are the
flowers,
japonica,
right.
And that's Camellia japonica, and those have the big, wonderful flowers on them. We do have a Camellia sinensis plant in our shop, so anybody
so
can
see,
come over and
great.
See it and just see one. And if you can get in touch with your local Camellia society, mm-hmm. and they're around in most cities.
Yeah, they seem to be everywhere.
I guarantee that one or two members will have good selections of sinensis plants that you can look at.
You're listening to Mouthful. My guest this evening, Nancy Wang, of president of the Redwood Empire Chinese Association, talking about the upcoming celebration of Chinese New Year, Year of the Ox, and David Campbell of Tillerman Tea in the Oxbow Public Market in Napa. Let's hear a little bit more from the Six Golden Flowers, and we'll be right back with more tea tasting. Six Golden Flowers Battling the Typhoon. They will be appearing at the celebration on February 28th. And, you know, when you have tea in the house, there's just not enough time we could spend. Mouthful could easily be 2 or 3 hours on the nights that we have just the real traditional tea. What is this another oolong?
This is also an oolong. This is also from Lishan. And this is a more traditional Lishan. This is also from Chen Wantong. So it compares to the last one, where the previous one was what he called his bright fragrant. This one is a traditional. So it's more oxidized, and it is it has had some roasting to it. So we'll try this one again. Now, this one has been a bit of a quicker brew on it, just as we were trying to get. So it's not going to be very extracted on this first tasting. But
I like the aroma cups. That is something I do not have in my collection of tea paraphernalia.
Good smell.
Now you can smell more roastiness in
yes.
this one.
Okay. Yeah, definitely. And it has that deeper roasting.
It has got a deeper roastier flavor, aroma to it. And this is...
There's a sweetness to it.
There is a sweetness to it. It's also... this is lightly brewed. I would let it go longer. But you do get some of that that toastiness to it, a little more nuttiness. That's one of the characteristics of more highly roasted teas is that they are nuttier.
This one almost has a hint of pecan flavor, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'll go with that.
Okay. Yeah, it's got that really pleasing sweetness of a pecan. Very subtle though.
Yes.
Now, something Americans always want to know about teas. Caffeine.
Okay. All tea has caffeine unless it's artificially taken out. Mm-hmm. And there are currently only two approved methods of removing caffeine. Uh-huh. One is through the use of ethyl acetate. And personally, I've always had a problem with taking out something by putting a chemical in.
We're with you completely.
Okay. The other method is supercritical carbon dioxide. And what they do is they wet the tea. It's put into a room. Carbon dioxide gas is pumped in until the pressure builds up, and it goes what they call supercritical. It's just when it turns into a liquid state. And we're used to seeing dry ice, for example, mm-hmm. where you've either got a solid state or it goes right to gas. Well, this is that
in between.
Point where you hit liquid, and the liquid then drains through the tea. They reduce the pressure in it drains through the tea. The caffeine is very mm-hmm. soluble in liquid carbon dioxide. It falls to the floor. The puddle on the floor. They reduce the pressure, and the tea or the carbon dioxide returns to gaseous state, and the caffeine is left on the floor where it's scooped up, and that's what's used in pharmaceuticals and Coca-Cola and all of these various things that we add caffeine to.
That's really interesting. I did not know that's what was done with it. I always wondered. Being someone who's not at all concerned about, I sort of respect tea in its natural state. I have no problem with the caffeine. How much does it compare to, say, coffee?
Tea has less caffeine mm-hmm. than
about
coffee.
A third to a half?
It's almost impossible to say. And you hear a lot of people saying, oh, green tea has less caffeine than black tea. It's just not true.
Yeah.
Some do and some don't. You can't make any general statements mm-hmm. other than saying
there's
all
caffeine.
Tea has caffeine.
Yeah.
One of the differences is free and bound caffeine. Mm-hmm. There's more free caffeine in coffee and more bound caffeine in tea. Mm-hmm. So there's less available caffeine to be taken up by the body in tea.
Mm-hmm. And I think I would assume that just like with coffee beans, the method of extraction, the length of mm-hmm. time of brewing, that sort of thing. And I also think that caffeine has gotten a little bit of a bad rap because some people who are bothered by coffee think that it's the caffeine that's bothering them when it's often one
acidity.
Of the other acids.
Yep.
So Mouthful's recommendation is always, you know, all things in moderation, especially if they're natural, can't be bad for you. Shelley, you are getting very good.
Yes, at, thank you very much.
Pouring the water over the teapot. I am impressed. Shelley Berman filling in tonight for our ailing Lawrence Alberti. Lawrence has the flu. Shelley's got her show coming up at 8 o'clock, Outbeat. And so she has very kindly filled in for Lawrence. And Lawrence, we hope you feel better really soon. I hope there's somebody nearby making you tea.
This next tea that we're going to be trying is also from Taiwan. It's also from a mountain, but it's called Alishan. And although Lishan is probably the most highly regarded tea in Taiwan in many respects, it's the highest growing area, it's very rare and so on. Alishan is also very high growing area, but not quite as high as Lishan. And most people think prefer the Ali, the Lishans. I actually like this tea.
Uh-huh.
This Alishan is...
Is this a tea that you know as well, Nancy?
Yes.
Yeah. Alishan is... This particular one from Chen Huangtang is my favorite tea.
Oh, great. Well, what a treat for us.
So we'll just... Now, while you're
brewing and pouring, question about Tillerman.
Yes.
What is the experience that people who come to the shop have?
Well, when you come to our shop, we have all of our teas available for looking at and smelling and so on. And all of our teas, except the pu'er cakes, mm-hmm. which we can't break up, we'll brew any of them if somebody wants to taste. Mm-hmm. They can have a complimentary tasting of any tea that we brew. My colleague, David Wong, who he and I go to China, Taiwan, and Japan and choose mm-hmm. the teas. David is a Renaissance man. He's an artist. He's a musician. He plays guzheng. We have a guzheng in the store, and he plays
you do.
It.
Oh.
And he will feign modesty, but if you come in and ask him to play, he really would like to do that, I think. He's also our director of education, and one thing that we're very keen on is introducing people to tea and giving them a good working knowledge mm-hmm. of what tea is about and how interesting it is in many respects. It's not, it is a beverage, but it's much more than a beverage.
Mm-hmm. While you're pouring that, I was going to ask you, Nancy, for the Year of the Ox Festival, and every year the celebration, how does the food work? Because, of course, at 6 o'clock dinner is served.
Yes. Full.
And who does the cooking? Who designs the menu?
We had the catering from San Francisco, Chinatown, gourmet barbecue place. And uh-huh. they deliver the food to us. Yes. And the food, it's a delicious, fun. I think this past few years, we really got really a good restaurant to provide our food.
Uh-huh.
Then not just the food, also we have a really nice local support. We started... having a little bit of alcohol served.
So that's
yes.
right.
Uh-huh.
I think Lagunitas Brewing Company,
and they're coming back again.
Oh, great.
Then the Windsor Vineyard, and they always donate not just the wine, also they make a special label for our event.
That's right.
Yes,
that now.
With the Year the Ox label wine.
Mm-hmm.
Then this event actually we have a Chinese celebration for this event. Also, as the nonprofit 501c3, we do a little bit fundraiser eligible to provide a scholarship for the Sonoma County senior high school students. Has to be an aging descent or our members. So we mm-hmm. do, this year we have a 3 scholarship to giving out. Then we have a senior group, we have a youth group. Mm-hmm. Then also we have a gorgeous adult chorus. They're going to be performing.
Yes, they do uh-huh. a fabulous job.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Now you have the Redwood Empire Chinese Association has a website. It's recacenter.org. So you can get lots of information about the organization there.
Yes, you can get all the information, our newsletter, everything you needed to know. That's the RECAcenter.org. It's our website. And the ticket you can purchase at the Santa Rosa G&G supermarket.
Oh, you can pick. Oh, great.
Yes, and also another Asian Mart at the Glenville
Asian Mart used to be organic grocery.
Yes, yes. And they
2481 Glenville Road.
Or you can call me at 576-0533.
That's 576-0533 if you need it, area code 707, to purchase tickets. And again, it is February 28th. The doors open at 5 p.m. Dinner is served at 6 p.m. Celebration goes on until about 10 o'clock, I think, doesn't it?
No, not that late.
Not that
maybe,
late?
Maybe,
okay.
You know, we had to stay that late because for the cleanup.
Oh,
but
okay.
No, the celebration is about 8:30 to 9.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I just remember, maybe it just took me an extra hour and a half to drag Lucas out of there.
It's one of his favorite
events of the year. He talks about it all the time. He loves it. So he's very excited. He thought I forgot about it this year. So he's very excited that it is still to come. Now, David is making... God, the time goes so fast when we have tea. You are making...
Well, actually, I've jumped ahead.
Okay.
Because time is going quickly.
And I should say, this one that you just poured was beautiful.
Thank you.
So, which pu'er...
This is a standard aged pu'er from it's a loose leaf pu'er.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as you know, pu'ers are from Yunnan province in the south of China. In many respects, it's thought that this is really where the tea plant began,
mm-hmm.
and where tea began. Pu'er is manufactured in a way that is unique. The tea is it's the only tea that is fermented as well as being oxidized, or not, if you do a green pu'er.
Mm-hmm.
But there is an intracellular fermentation that takes place in pu'er, and that's encouraged, and that's one of the things that allows pu'ers to age. Pu'er is a tea that can age 50, 60 years, and it's sought after and collected in the same way that fine wines are sought after and collected in the West. So it's a very, again, a parallel between tea and wine. But
mm-hmm.
it's brought just to have a look at. This is the way...
Look at that beautiful...
Pu'er is perhaps most known. This is a bincha, which is a pu'er cake. And while the teas are still moist, they're pressed into these cake forms. And these are what are prized by collectors. These are.
I have to take a look.
Sure.
It must be about 8 inches across.
Mm-hmm.
That's sitting on gold satin.
Almost a pound of tea.
And it's rice paper? Is this
yes,
right?
It's rice paper.
Rice paper label with deep purple printing sitting in this wonderful box, this wonderful black cardboard box with little wisps of gold through it, and then this beautiful disc of pu'er on the gold satin. What a beautiful package that is. Thank you for showing this. That is really lovely.
Okay. These bincha have not only been used for teas to enjoy drinking, but they are also... have been used as currency in the past. So
they look like big, huge coins.
They look like big, huge coins, exactly. And
this one is the loose leaf.
This is a loose leaf aged pu'er, and this is a larger leaf. Next one we're going to taste a smaller leaf, which is a tribute pu'er. It's...
Mm-hmm.
Xiaoyu.
And that will be the last one. Mm-hmm. This is power tea drinking.
This is power tea drinking, exactly.
And while you are doing this last one, I'm going to tell people the Oxbow Public Market is at 610 First Street. Tillerman Tea is unit 8. It is Unit 8.
We are Unit 8.
Unit 8.
Which is a very lucky Chinese number.
That's right. Yes, we know that. We like that number. The shop hours open Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. till 7 p.m., Saturday 9 until 6, Sunday 10 until 5. There is a website, TillermanTea.com. You can take a look. When was your Year of the Ox celebration?
We did it on the 10th of February, and we had Chinese National Wushu Academy come up and do martial arts demonstrations, mm-hmm. and they did lion dances throughout the market, and then we had Guzheng performers, mm-hmm. Also young ladies from San Francisco come up. So I really encourage everyone here to take advantage of going to the celebrations here in Santa Rosa, because it's not wonderful. To be missed.
Yeah, and maybe next year we can get you back over here before your celebration, or maybe even come over there with microphones and capture your celebration.
Sure, that would be great fun.
And they can come into our event to do the tea demonstration.
Wouldn't that be wonderful?
Yes, we would love to have them.
And we've got just 2 minutes left here on Mouthful. So again, let me tell you my guest. It's Nancy Wang, President, Redwood Empire Chinese Association. The website, recacenter.org. Nancy, thank you so much for taking time. You did this You did this last year as well. We really appreciate it. It's the whole organization and the celebration. It's really a wonderful part of Sonoma County.
Thank you.
And again, David, can't wait to try this other pu'er. But thank you, too, for taking time on a stormy Sunday evening to drive over. Do you live in Napa?
I do, yes.
So, you made a long drive with lots of goodies. We really appreciate it.
Well, it's my pleasure. I love introducing people to tea.
It's my pleasure, too. Thank you, and good night.
Good night.
So we're going to have just – the last thing we're going to do is take a taste of one more pu'er.
A tribute pu'er, and the reason it's called a tribute tea is that tributes were offered to the emperor, and this was a style of tea that was allowed to be offered as a tribute to the emperor.
He is decanting into the pitcher. You can hear that tea. And again, all of these Camellia sinensis.
Everything Camellia sinensis.
A whole world of tea from this one single plant. It's one of the wonderful miracles of nature, I think. The diversity of tea. And there it is. And I'm raising my cup to you. Thanks for tuning in. Okay. Be sure to meet me back here next week for another yummy episode of Mouthful, the wine country's most delicious hour. Next week, we'll be exploring Marin, especially the organic side of Marin, here on KRCB.
Mouthful is produced and hosted by Michelle Anna Jordan. Lawrence Alberti is Mouthful's engineer. For more information about Mouthful, send an email to mouthful@michelleannajordan.com. That's Michelle with one L. You can also download Mouthful's free podcast from krcb.org or from iTunes.